Right now, our universe is a big, cold, and virtually empty place. Even in our own solar system, the sun is nearly 93 million miles away. Beyond the sun, the nearest galaxy to us is the Andromeda Galaxy, and that's 2.5 million light years away. In layman's terms, pretty far.
And while we know that the universe is a big place, new research shows that parts of the universe are more densely populated than others. That means on the flip side, some areas are downright empty, and that research shows that our own Milky Way galaxy may be in the middle of a cosmic void.
David Eicher is with us now to tell us more. He's the editor-in-chief of Astronomy Magazine. David, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Doing pretty well and still trying to get my mind around this cosmic void thing. What is a cosmic void?
Cosmic Swiss cheese. So we live in a universe filled with at least 100 billion galaxies. It is an enormously, unbelievably large place, of course. The visible universe that we know of is at least 93 billion light years across, and it may be much larger than that, likely. So there's a lot of stuff in it, but the space is really, really large, and parts of the universe at a really large scale are much denser than others, and this is what this study is talking about. Where our galaxy and the groups of galaxies and even the clusters and superclusters around us lie in the universe, we may be in a fairly low-density part locally, but we don't know that yet. That's one possible explanation from this study that is recently out of the University of Wisconsin.
So you mentioned cosmic Swiss cheese. So, you know, obviously we're getting as lots of holes in it there. If you were to draw a pretty crude representation of this, is that what the universe looks like? That there's a lot more space and then just is clusters of things here and there?
There are clusters of galaxies and so-called superclusters, strings of clusters of galaxies, but it's not quite as simple as Swiss cheese because the low-density places still have lots of stuff in them, and we may well, as you talked about, be in one of those, but we still have in our little local group of galaxies, about 54 galaxies at least, in our Virgo cluster of galaxies that's very close to us, just a few tens of millions of light years, about 1,300 galaxies, and in the Laniakea cluster that's within this bubble, we still have about 100,000 galaxies. So that's a low-density region of space, and it still has about 100,000 galaxies in it. We're not super lonely and all alone here.
So how does this play out elsewhere? You said we don't really know for sure, but what does this mean about the way the universe could be structured or the way space is structured?
Good question. We know that there are denser and less dense portions, but this study, which is by Amy Barger and her colleagues at Wisconsin, has looked at the differences in what astronomers call the Hubble constant, and that's the expansion rate of the universe. And the differences near us and with very, very distant exploding stars suggest that maybe there's less material near us than in the more distant universe. That's the supposition. We really don't know that this is true absolutely yet, but it would explain some things if it is true. It also doesn't account for the wild card of dark energy, which is this force that's pushing the expansion of the universe apart to be faster as you go farther away. So we really don't know the answer to this yet. It's likely that we have a lower density universe locally here, but we're not sure.
And about this dark energy, I mean, do we know if that's, so can we at least surmise that that is what's pushing and pulling areas of density, high density and low density apart or maybe together?
It very well might be, and again, we're not. This is something that is on the frontier, and we're really not. Astronomers are not sure yet. It was discovered in 1998 when distant exploding stars were moving away faster than they should be to account for the expansion of the universe from the Big Bang. This is a repulsive force that pushes the expansion of the universe. And we really don't know what this is yet at all, the nature of dark energy. The really disturbing thing, if you want to lie awake at night here, is that of the mass and energy of the universe, of course, mass and energy are the same thing in interconvertible forms. about two-thirds of the mass energy of the universe is in this form of dark energy, and we have no idea what it is as yet. So if somebody wants to win a Nobel Prize, that figuring this out is a certain way to do it.
Now, I've heard the term dark matter a lot. Is this something distinct, or are these the same things?
It is distinct. Now, dark matter is a lesser, is about 26% of the mass and energy of the universe. We don't really know what dark matter is yet either, although we can see its effects. And it's probably some kind of dark elementary particle, but we haven't discovered it yet in things like the Large Hadron Collider, CERN. That's probably a particle, and it's hypothetically been called the axion, that something like this particle would explain dark matter that we can see the effects of in galaxies. But if you take dark energy and add it to dark matter, and then you have about 4% and a little bit more of the stuff in the universe is the bright material that includes galaxies and stars and planets and cats and dogs and trees and humans. That's the stuff that we're made out of, the normal so-called baryonic matter. It's only about 4% of the stuff in the universe, and we understand it and not much else.
So you're telling me we only understand 4% of the universe. The rest we have no idea.
We have an idea, but we don't know for sure what they are yet. And so astronomers are not going to be out of work anytime soon.
Interesting. Well, going back to the universe as a cosmic void, which is what we're discussing today, this idea of big empty expanses and then clusters of galaxies and things like that, like the Milky Way, which is this new research from UW-Madison and other places. So do we know what might attract these clusters to form clusters in the first place? Why aren't things kind of spread out equidistant?
Yes, that's a good question. And if you go to really, really large scales, things in the universe are pretty evenly distributed. But as you go to smaller and smaller and smaller scales, you see the effects of gravity more and more and more. So things that are, you mentioned the Andromeda Galaxy, things that are close to each other are not necessarily all moving apart from each other because gravity is acting on them. In about 4 billion years or so, the Milky Way and the Andromeda Galaxy, in fact, which is moving toward us, will merge into a single super galaxy that astronomers call Milkomeda.
No, so, and that's not going to happen in the next 50 years.
I'm guessing. You don't have to lose any sleep over that, but it's going to be a tremendous spectacle when these galaxies come together and merge.
Wow.
That'll be a long time from now. But so gravity acts on fairly small distant scales like that, but at large scales, things are much more spread out, and there are these relative holes and rich areas of galaxies.
Now, Wired magazine was writing about this subject of the cosmic void idea and saying that it's possible that the Milky Way where we are could be at the center of this cosmic void, which kind of puts us in a strange place. Can you talk more about that?
Yes, that's right. And if this study by Amy and others at Wisconsin is true, we would be in a very low density near the center of this sort of bubble, this hole, if you will, a hole in the Swiss cheese, that's maybe about 1 billion light years across. So that's a huge amount of space with lots of galaxies in it, as I said, but lower density, smaller number of galaxies than the areas around us that are beyond about 1 billion light years. So it's not like it's completely empty, but we're in a relatively poor, quiet area of our region of space. That's actually a pretty good thing because we're also kind of out in the fringe of our Milky Way, just looking at our galaxy itself, and that keeps us away from the center where there's a lot of danger. There's a supermassive black hole, there's antimatter, there's all kinds of bad stuff going on in the center of our galaxy. It's good to be out in the quiet suburbs, and this may also be the case with our on a very large scale, as they found now, too.
As a scientist, though, who wants to learn more, does that mean it's harder to get data about the observable and the unobservable universe?
It's always a challenge, and you know, we're really in a golden age here in terms of astronomical research. We know so much more about galaxies than we did just 10 or 20 years ago. It's really an incredible renaissance that's going on, and the instruments that exist now, the Hubble Space Telescope, the James Webb Space Telescope that will launch next year. These are making these questions easier for astronomers to answer despite these bubbles and voids. It may be that the Webb Space Telescope can look back in time and see the first galaxies that formed very early in the universe, and then we'll understand how galaxies evolved over time much better to be where we are, say, in the modern universe today.
Why is this renaissance happening in astronomy right now? What's special about this period of time?
The instruments have really gotten to be tremendous. And, you know, knowledge builds on knowledge. So we didn't even understand what galaxies were at all, for example, until 1923. Edwin Hubble discovered the nature of galaxies and that the universe was expanding a few years later. But we really didn't understand the structure of our Milky Way until just a few years ago, that it's a barred spiral and many of the galaxies that are around us in very much detail. And it's largely because more astronomers are working on the knowledge that has come before, but also that the telescopes in orbit and the ground-based big telescopes are much, much better than they were a decade ago.
And David, we've just got a little bit of time left, but what big things are on the horizon, so to speak, here in astronomy?
Oh, boy, there are things going on all over the place. Back on Earth here, in the United States, we have a really great solar eclipse that's coming next month, August 21st, that will cut all the way across the United States, a path of totality, the most widely visible one in about 100 years. But there's lots of stuff going on in terms of science research with galaxies and all sorts of other things. The Cassini spacecraft is going to plummet and end its mission down into the atmosphere of Saturn here in a couple of months now in the fall. That's a really exciting thing that's going on with planetary science. The New Horizons mission, you remember a couple years ago, flew past Pluto. That's going to go out and look at a Kuiper Belt object, a distant rocky object way, way out there.
A lot to look forward to. Wow, David, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet.
David Eicher is editor-in-chief of Astronomy Magazine, and he joined us today to talk about some new research from UW-Madison that shows that our galaxy may reside in a massive cosmic void.
Food Friday is coming up next here on Central Time.